AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents online may still have access to top secret material. The Justice Department thinks Jack DeSera should be kept behind bars as he awaits trial. CBS's Rob LeGarry.
Investigators say excerpts from the Discord group allegedly show DeSera telling another user everything he shared with them was classified, and in another instance allegedly offering users to give them sensitive information on specific requests for countries and topics.
President Biden welcomed the president of South Korea to the White House today and announced a new plan. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
While the U.S. will not be returning nuclear weapons to South Korea permanently, it will be resuming its old Cold War practice of sending nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarines, starting in the near future, apparently, as Washington seeks to show the South, and North Korea for that matter, that it's serious about defending its allies.
Well, the U.S. is in debt to the tune of about $31 trillion. And CBS's Rebecca Kaplan reports a debt ceiling bill has been passed, but
the plan is dead on arrival in the Senate, where Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called it a wasted effort and called on Speaker McCarthy to increase the debt ceiling with no strings attached. President Biden has also pledged to veto the plan.
Montana Republicans have barred Representative Zoe Zephyr from participating on the House floor after she refused to apologize for saying colleagues who voted to ban gender-affirming care for youth would have blood on their hands.
I will rise in support of my community. I will take the hard and moral choice and stand up in defense of the people who elected me to do so and the people in our communities.
So you know those parents who can't keep their mouths shut while watching their kids play ball? CBS's Deborah Rodriguez on a new rule in southern New Jersey.
Did he get hit? Because it's full count.
A new rule in Deptford Township requires moms and dads who think they can do a better job to take the field to prove it. They'll have to ump three games themselves before they're allowed back in the stands as spectators. The league's president says the abuse has gotten so bad, two volunteer umps quit last week.
Disney suing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, alleging he has overseen a, quote, targeted campaign of government retaliation that's threatening the entertainment and media giants' operations. The feud all started after the company publicly opposed a state law that critics call "Don't Say Gay." Want to buy a Tesla? Now's a good time to get one. Tesla dropped the starting price for its top-selling models once again. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, April 27th. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the SCLS headquarters in Madison. In Wood County, the Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the River Block Building in Room 206 in Wisconsin Rapids. Adams County will hold their economic development meeting from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at Create Adams County, 159 East Ann Street in Adams. The Adams City Planning Commission will meet at 5 p.m. at the City Municipal Building. 30 minutes is reserved for public comment, and time will be adjusted according to the number of speakers. They will be discussing the Polish Flea Market and the Adams Flea Market, as well as permit applications and potential zoning for the Fire District Training Facility. Teen Game Day will take place at McMillan Memorial Library tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 39. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs around 65, cloudy. 42 tomorrow night, cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers Friday and Saturday, 66. Friday, 53. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You need some whoop-whoop-whoop-boing, you know?
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How would you like to be part of an economy that runs on reciprocity, time, generosity, instead of money? Sounds pretty good.
You had me at instead of money.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattner. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to Kate Cesar, who is a freelance journalist based in Milwaukee, but recently had a special report in the Cap Times about the buy nothing economy that's not only happening in Madison, but it's happening across the country. It's like 7 million people. And I think it sounds utopian. And so welcome to the show, Kat.
Thank you so much for having me. So I think this is something that has always existed. People have always traded things with their neighbors, put stuff out by the dumpster, gone dumpster diving, posted stuff in the Craigslist free section. Free cycling was something that people were doing a lot and still do to this day, I think. But the Buy Nothing Project, which is the term that most people use now, is Buy Nothing for this type of sharing economy. That started in 2013. It was started by these two women who live in Bainbridge Island, which is outside of Seattle. And they had been members of their neighborhood free cycle group. And they decided it wasn't free enough. Like, it just wasn't, there were too many rules. And they wanted to be able to just give away and get pretty much anything, you know, within the legal limit.
Yeah. And
so they started the Buy Nothing Project, which has just mushroomed, especially since 2020, since the pandemic. And it is based primarily in Facebook groups that are for your neighborhood. So Madison, for example, has at least 7 Buy Nothing groups, plus other groups that go by various names that aren't Buy Nothing. But the idea is pretty much the same, that you post stuff that you want to get rid of, or you post something that says, I need shower curtain hooks. Does anyone have some? And then someone in your neighborhood, someone in your community says, hey, you can get them from me. I'll put them in a bag on my porch. I'll hang them off my front gate. Come and get them. And so it's just a way to share things. And so I did a story on it for the Cap Times that was published last week.
And so how did you come across this and be like, as a freelance journalist, be like, this is interesting, I think something's here? Like, how did you stumble? I mean, or how, yeah, like, how did you come up with this idea to look into it?
Full disclosure, I am a complete buy nothing freak myself. So usually when I've written about subcultures previously, I've been like an outsider, but this was definitely something where I am an avid buy nothing participant. And I, for the past, I think when I originally, I mean, I've always been like a Craigslister, a dumpster diver. I've always been into thrifting, but when I discovered the buy nothing concept, which, like I said, has always been around, but I feel like the Buy Nothing Project kind of made it more accessible and respectable and convenient by putting it into Facebook groups and organizing it, having, you know, a variety of rules that people can follow, which are pretty minimal. But I discovered Buy Nothing here in Milwaukee when I moved here in 2021. And it's been an amazing way to discover the city. I live on the South Side. I basically have learned the entire South Side by driving around and doing various pickups. So that was my entry into it. And the deeper I got into it, I was like, why is no one talking about this? This is like, so, I mean, in my group that I'm in Bayview, there are over 8,400 members,
wow, which
on the large side for a Buy Nothing group, a lot of them tend to be anywhere between, you know, 500 to 2,000. Some are bigger, some are smaller. And the group administrators I talked to in Madison said, the smaller they are, the better it works. It's sort of an ideal size. You want enough people to have it be participatory, but if it gets too big, it can get kind of anonymous. So I got into this through my own obsession with it.
And I like it because it's what it, seemingly what it feels like is it's not just about, you know, buying it, not having to buy another thing. It's also not having to throw stuff out. I feel like last week, Jane and I were talking ahead of Earth Day and even on Monday, kind of what you do with stuff and the guilt you have sometimes. You're like, I don't know, do I just throw this away? Because if it's, you can donate it, obviously, but it's like, as far as someone who actually is looking for that thing right now, instead of it just ending up in like a pile at Goodwill, like there's something circular around that, that it's like, it sounds really nice. And so why do you think this works and is more efficient than, you know, the free stuff on Facebook Marketplace? So same platform, there's obviously Facebook groups that are how the Buy Nothing stuff is being administered, but there's also Facebook Marketplace where you can just post free stuff. So what is it you think specifically about the groups that make it more effective?
Well, it is more effective. I actually don't really like Facebook Marketplace that much because Facebook prioritizes posts based on their algorithm, and they will often put, they want you to order stuff on, you know, and have it sent to you. Whereas with a Buy Nothing group, or it could have any number of names. At this point, the Buy Nothing Project is, you know, what those two women started in Seattle, it's kind of gone beyond that now. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned 7 million people worldwide who participate. That's just in the groups that are counted by the Buy Nothing Project. There are also, you know, give and take groups and all these, but it's a small private group. So it's not public. It's a little bit more community based. And it's also people who ideally live close to you. So Facebook Marketplace, you can search, you know, like 2 miles or less, but these groups really, people will post and say, hey, I live by the Avalon Theater, or I live, you know, by this restaurant or this cross street. And then you know exactly where you're, you know, going, kind of plan your pickups that way.
That makes sense.
Is there more, I mean, what you're talking about now, like my experience with marketplaces, Facebook marketplaces, that I put something on there, I get 30 messages saying, still available? Yeah. And I say, yes. Then I have to wait 48 hours for a response. And I'm like, do you want to come get this? Come see it, blah, blah. Is it still available? Yes, it is. Would you like to see it? And like, it's maddening. Like, there's two things I wanted to put on Marketplace, and now I'm terrified of doing it. Like, I have this playset in the back of my house that I don't want to scrap. If someone can use it, great. But I also don't want to be the guy like, free playset. You know what I mean? Like, it almost seems like the what you're talking about has a little more panache, a little more exquisiteness to it. Whereas I'm just gonna be like, free playset, everybody. Who wants a free playset? Come to my house and come get it. You know what I mean?
it's very fast moving. Buy nothing's very fast moving. And a lot of times people will just say, curb alert, here is all this stuff on my front lawn, come and get it.
Yeah.
And it will be gone within a few hours because people want to beat the rush.
Yeah.
And in terms of what is getting transacted, like what people are giving away and what they're asking for, it really is just anything you can possibly imagine, from furniture to leftover food to expired food to baby stuff, kids stuff.
A baby.
Someone in Madison told me that, I think this was in the east side of Madison, someone in their group actually gave away a car. a whole car.
Wow.
And a lot of times it's new stuff, you know, it's stuff that people, like, for example, I came into possession of a juicer. It was something that was sent to a family member. You know how, you know, Amazon will sometimes make mistakes, send you two. It's one of those situations.
And they're like, keep it. You're like, oh yeah. Nice business model.
Got that with a Lego set.
We're not a juicing family. And so it was just sitting there collecting dust, but it was brand new, still in its box. And I tried selling it on Facebook Marketplace. And honestly, selling stuff online is a lot of work. And it's easier just to be like, you know, someone posted what's called an in search of post for a juicer. And I said, here, come and get it. And she was so grateful. And her gratitude was worth more than like the $30 I would have made, you know, messaging back and forth with someone and like haggling and whatever. So
we're talking to freelance journalist Kat Cesar, who recently published an article in the Cap Times about how how to buy nothing and join Madison's sharing economy. And one of the stories you said in there was similar to what you just said about the juicer, which was an unused bidet that someone felt very, they're like, this is, do I, will anyone take this? And it was like taken right away.
Because
exactly. You had over 100 people like asking for it.
Your tush doesn't touch the bidet.
No, it doesn't. It touches the seat.
But the seat stays with the toilet.
I think it depends on which one. Don't some of them come?
The Luxors come with a thing you just put underneath the seat and it hooks up to your wall unit and everything. You're good to go. Your tush never touches the bidet.
You're missing the overall usage, which is as a planter.
Have you seen a bidet used as a planter?
No, but I might get one.
I don't. Do you know what a bidet is, Jane?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I'm confused now.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to hear some of the other stories. And also, I want to hear more about your Substack. So come back in just a minute. Actually, we have more time than I thought we did. We have 2 minutes.
90 seconds.
That's an awkward amount of
Jane
time.
Jane means, you mean like the full blown bidet, like an actual one, like in Europe, where it's like next to the toilet, Jane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking about just the thing you buy at Home Depot as you hook into your system.
Oh, no. Okay. I was thinking about an actual bidet.
Oh, you're fancy.
I still have one we registered for one for our wedding and we have not opened it yet.
I have to install it. Do you need help installing? I can install it for you.
You should talk to Mike.
I'll talk to Mike.
All right. This is. There, we ate up the 90 seconds.
We did it.
When we come back, Kate Cesar will still be here and we will still be talking about the buy nothing economy. Would you join it? 844-967-2789. Do you want to buy nothing and give stuff away and be part of a reciprocal community? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Why you called it the Paul Revere Show?
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too.
Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to Kat Cesar, who recently wrote an article in the Cap Times about the no buy or buy nothing economy that also it exists in Madison, but it's also she found it in Milwaukee. And it's basically exactly what it sounds like. It's basically being able to post things saying, does anybody want this or in search of? And instead of having to buy another cheap but readily available thing on Amazon, maybe you can get it from your neighbor, which sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos does not need your money.
No. And you don't need another. I mean, I think it's also I think about that with like the stupid stuff I've bought on Amazon that I'm like, I wonder if that could have found that of like more hangers. You know, that feels like a very obvious thing that probably someone else is also throwing away, which we also found out that you shouldn't recycle.
No, don't recycle hangers.
Yes.
What?
So of the stories, either your personal stories or the stories of people that you interviewed for the story, for the report, you know, what were some of the things that really stood out to you that, I don't know, sell the idea?
Well, I think one of the most surprising things that I found out is I talked to folks at Goodwill and at St. Vincent de Paul in Madison. And because I was, you know, wondering, like, with all of this stuff getting given away and traded in neighborhoods, if maybe they were seeing fewer donations at their donation sites in Dane County. And they're not at all. I mean, there's just such a glut of possessions that we have right now that basically starting in 2015, you know, when Marie Kondo's show was gaining popularity, people were like really into decluttering and then in the pandemic, people had all this time at home, you know, bored and isolated, and they started decluttering then even more. And it's just basically kept up. But the surprising thing I found out was that 30% of the donations to Goodwill end up in the garbage. And that to me was really shocking. And the reason they told me is that, you know, they want to make it, donations are the lifeblood of Goodwill of these, because that's how they make their money to support the programs that they do, the charity work they do. And so they have a vested interest in making as much money from the stuff from the donations that they get. And they do sell stuff wholesale, like, you know, smush clothes and 1,000-pound bales. But there's just a lot of stuff that cannot be sold. Chipped china, stained clothing, torn clothing, old paint cans, stuff that really belongs at a landfill or just isn't really appropriate, that can't be sold in a store. And a lot of that stuff can be given away on buy nothing. You know, I mean, let's take an example. Like you have a t-shirt that you were making spaghetti sauce one night and you like got a little, you know, stain on it. Well, St. Vinny's is not going to want that shirt. They're not going to be able to sell it in the store. And it's not going to meet the requirements for the textile, wholesale textile sales that they do. And so that shirt could have one more personal use or one more, you know, personal use as rags that you cut up. Or you could give away some to a neighbor to use as shirts to wear when they're painting their house or something. So there's things like that, like, that wouldn't be appropriate to donate, but that you could give away in Buy Nothing, or you can get from Buy Nothing as well.
And that was one of the, I think one of the, there was a music teacher that you put in the story that fixed a drum. Like as far as like the drum itself was broken, but she knew how to fix it. So she could fix it along and like along with the maracas and different musical instruments that she now uses for her classroom. Because I would imagine when it comes to Goodwill or St. Vincent, you know, they have people either working or volunteers who go through the stuff that gets donated, but they don't necessarily have people who are going to fix the things that are broken.
No. And I mean, that's the thing is that they want to make it as easy as possible for people just to like unload stuff from their car and donate it. But in doing that, they're just taking like a lot of stuff that's just, you know, not good.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. And I think it would be smart then, you know, I'm not necessarily saying don't donate to, you know, these charity or thrift stores, but maybe think twice, maybe have what you donate to them and then what you give away via Buy Nothing, you know? And then there's just a lot of weird stuff that comes up on Buy Nothing because, you know, this is humanity and humans are weird. And so there's just like, there's the bidet. I mean, I don't know. I think the bidets are gaining popularity. I don't think that's so weird right now.
They're wonderful people.
Oh, good. Okay. But like when I first joined my Buy Nothing group, someone posted a tapeworm preserved in rubbing alcohol that they had pulled out of their cat's butt.
Oh my God!
Right? I was like, what on earth is happening here? And you know what? Tons of people wanted it. You know, people are into like weird medical stuff, or they want to just take it, show it in their science class because apparently like an intact full tapeworm is like very rare. But so you do see like lots of really bizarre things, but I would say the most of the stuff you see on Buy Nothing is just clothes, furniture, coffee makers, just, you know, candles. Stuff like that. But yeah, that was maybe in the first couple of weeks I was on Buy Nothing and I was like, I love this place. That is disgusting and I love this.
Yeah, I was going to say that this whole thing reminds me of radio stations years ago used to do a program called Tradio, where people could call in with whatever they had and here is my thing and if you want to trade me for my thing, we'll do a swap and it was Tradio. Bringing up the tapeworm brings it to an entirely different
level.
You
didn't see that?
I don't think that ever happened on Tradio.
Who wants a toe? I can't guarantee it's mine.
All right, well, we only have a minute left, so Kat, I want to make sure that people know where to find your Substack, where they can get more of your writing.
Oh, yes. I have a Substack newsletter called Curb Alert. So I write about Buy Nothing and dumpster diving and just general thrifting, sort of on the lower end of the thrift scale of finding free things. And I really encourage people to get involved with groups like this. It's really helped me personally on a serious note. It's helped me kind of with some of my climate crisis guilt. And
I got to cut you off because we got to go to break, but it was so great to have you, Kat. I'll link all of your stuff on our show notes. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. From Alexander Field to the Central Business District. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
You know what?
We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's unemployment is at an all-time low with 2.5% reported in March of 2023. Adams County currently has the highest unemployment rate in the entire state at 6.4%. Adams County wants to get people working. Their job center is open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday. There's computer access to search for jobs and assistance to help build resumes and learn interviewing skills. They have job market information, can help with career planning, and even put you in touch with other agencies. UWSP alumni came together for their day of service to help keep area kids fed. A few dozen volunteers worked yesterday morning to pack blessings in a backpack. The program helps make sure students have enough to eat outside of school. Volunteers were able to pack about 2,000 bags in an hour. These food packs will benefit students in Wausau, Mosinee, and DC Everest school districts. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 39. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, highs around 65, cloudy. 42 tomorrow night, cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers Friday and Saturday, 66. Friday, 53. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
The Bird app.
Oh, okay.
I have... I pulled the trigger a couple weeks ago, and I am one of the dorks paying for Twitter Blue.
You're verified?
I'm not verified, because first
Jane,
of all,
I'm out.
They did not ask for my number at all, but I did, and I wish I didn't have the blue check mark, because the reason I did it, but right now, if you go to As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter, I do have a blue check mark. And it is because I'm paying for it, not because magically we got verified. Because almost everyone under a million followers now, even if you were verified, you no longer are. But I did decide to pay for Twitter Blue because of all the features that come with it. because you get an edit button. You can write more than 280 characters. You can get less ads. There's some nice benefits to it that I wanted. But if I could get rid of the blue check mark, I would. I don't care about the blue check mark. I care about the other features because, like, sometimes I would go to write a tweet like, here's what's coming up on today's show. And then I have to figure out how to, like, abbreviate things because it was too long. Sure. And it was annoying. But I do feel like, and this is like the psychology behind what Elon Musk has done with this verification thing, is like, I feel like people are judging me.
I think personally, when I see, first of all, forgiven. You're good.
Oh, thanks.
We love you.
Okay. There's worse things I've done in life.
Well, I mean, I've seen some of the jackets you wear. But the point is, no, I mean, for what you do, for what you're doing, that's a brand name. I get that. Like, you're not some, you know, yokel in Kalamazoo with 48 followers. Like, I want me a blue check mark. I think you have a certain thing to protect there. And if you're
doing. But is it protecting anything now?
I think so. Because for up and coming brands, for mid level, like with a certain amount of followers and growing, I think you do. Because I don't know. I just feel like what you're putting out there as far as your content, people need to know it's coming from you.
But here's my problem, because the verification process now.
Yeah.
They just charge you.
Right.
It's not like I had to verify. I didn't have to verify anything. And maybe it's because there was already a phone number and an email address attached to my account. Yeah. But it's not like there was like, hey, we need to like make sure you are who you say you are, or you represent the brand that you say it does. And so I get it. And I thank you for being so generous with it. It's not even that anymore. So my bigger point is I wanted to have a conversation to kind of just around what is happening over there and this psychology between like what is cool and what, because it's basically gone from if you were online and this, I mean, because there was a verified check on Instagram and Facebook. So if you spend time online, this was not a new concept.
Right.
And now Elon, in the attempt to make it be a revenue stream, turn that on its head. And the same thing is happening with Facebook and Instagram, where you can pay for a check mark there too. It's not as much of a discussion that's happening over there.
Yeah.
But it's so funny of just how our brain works as far as soon as you can just pay for it, it's no longer cool. Like, and I think it comes back to a thing of you can't buy cool. You can't buy class, right? It's like these kind of like intangible things that no matter how rich you get, you may just not be ever.
No, I mean, but the thing is, if you get famous enough, that doesn't guarantee cool either. And
I think because
a lot of people on Twitter that was like that day and day after it all happened were, you know, I earn my blue check mark by doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm not going to pay for it, blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. And I get that argument. But after a while, you're like you didn't mind the blue check mark a week ago, and now all of a sudden it's your enemy? Like, I guess, like, they protest too much, in my opinion. Like,
protest too much.
For me, who has never enjoyed the beauty of a blue check mark, it's sort of like watching the cool kids, like, fight at the cooler kids or the semi-cooler kids. You know what I mean? Like, we're all over here in the unwashed on the sidelines going, none of us care about you. Like, yeah, you had a blue check mark. No, you don't. Well, welcome to Gen Pop. It's wonderful here. enjoy the racist the tweets.
You know, I think the bigger problem, at least for me, when he took all the blue checks away, because I use Twitter so much for news.
Yeah.
And also for weather information. So now anyone can impersonate any weather agency and claim that some killer storm is coming and just screw with people. And I think it's just so dangerous.
And see, that's why I feel like news outlets, like people who provide news should get, like, they were doing this thing before. There was the yellow check mark, there was the gray check mark, there was like, have a specific check mark for news. And I don't care if it's a news outlet I disagree with, but like you're saying, like, if you're looking for weather, there should be a verification process for that, as innocuous and boring as that should be. So we just at least know.
I want to know it's the actual National Weather Service.
Yeah.
Not Franklin in his mother's basement.
Well, because what it turned into is something that is what was once useful is now useless.
Yeah.
Well, you really have to look at everything with a close eye and decide whether or not you believe this is the person or agency they claim to be.
And that's what Elon wants you to do, man. Question the reality you're standing in. Wow.
But I feel like it's just such an I'm just interested in the psychological phenomenon of how quickly it turned and how much he miscalculated why people wanted a blue check mark. And I, you know what I mean? Cause it's not making money.
No,
it's not. There's a great, I think it's a great article, but, in Slate, that was published this week, called How Elon Musk Turned the Blue Checkmark into a Scarlet Letter in Slate. And I feel that a little bit as far as why I chose to pay for it is very different than because I wanted a blue checkmark. It's because there are other features. And I think the fact that he conflated those two things of you can pay for extra features that make your experience better, like an edit button, like more characters, like less ads, and keep that separate from what people want to pay for is to get that blue check mark. Because the blue check mark is just something that it's not even a status symbol, because it's exactly what you said. It's verification. Verifying who this person is.
Yeah.
And because now I scroll through Twitter and blue check marks mean nothing to me. Like if I don't actually recognize your name, the blue check mark doesn't make me think like, oh, who is this person that I should maybe... Do they work for an organization? Are they a journalist? Are they an elected official I haven't heard of before? No, it's just because some guy.
Well, he's made so many people angry. It says in that Slate article that they could make that blue check mark, the whole Twitter blue thing, $1 a month, and it still wouldn't sell.
I know.
Because everyone likes to the people who praise Elon Musk like to praise his genius and his forward thinking. I truly think he thought about this one. He's like, I want to destroy it. And I did. I truly think this is what he wants. He wants to make money off of it. It's not going to do that. I think that's why he was like all of a sudden freaking out and giving away blue check marks to dead people.
Yeah. And there's some people he's just paying for. LeBron James he's paying for. And like, that's the thing. When you talk about a scarlet letter, it's not only that there's some people who lost their blue check mark and they're like, I'm not going to pay for this. You have people actively saying those who still have their blue check mark, because apparently anyone over a million followers, Elon's just floating them to let them keep it. But like Stephen King, LeBron James, like all these people like literally said, hey, I am not paying for this.
Yeah.
And one of the points in the article that they make that I think is so smart, imagine droves of celebrities doing this about any other product. Mm-hmm. Imagine just droves of celebrities talking about, I don't want to eat at that restaurant. I don't want to wear this brand of clothing. And how bad that would be for your brand if that many people were publicly going out of their way to say, hey, this thing that they say that I'm doing, I'm not.
Yeah.
See, and I think Elon approaches everything aspirationally. He wants to be a cool kid. He's got enough money where he should just be a cool kid, and yet he's not.
No,
so he relates to all the people who also want to be a cool kid, and they're just not. So I'm going to give them a way to buy it, because that's what I want.
I agree with that too. I've seen him dance, and I'm not being funny when I say
that. I've seen him dance.
I've seen him dance. I've seen him try to be cool in interviews. I've seen him he is the textbook dork who got made fun of in school. The only reason why he probably didn't get made fun of in school is because his parents had enough apartheid gem money to keep him from being made fun of. But he's just...
Apartheid gem money.
Yeah, that's what
his parents... No, I know.
Yeah. But, like, it's this thing of, like, why do... we were talking about this before off air. People give him so much credit. He has taken a $44 billion company, at least the valuation from other people say this, and he has chopped it more than in half. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, at what point do the people at Twitter come together and say, we need to get rid of him? There's got to be a way to get rid of him. There's stockholders.
And the Tesla.
Oh no, there's not, because he bought the company. It's privately. Never mind. Forget that whole thing.
But the Tesla shareholders should be looking at him too, because he's not doing that brand any good either.
And SpaceX.
844-967-2789. You can also always call and or text from the 608. I've never been on Twitter, but old Ellie Baby had to crawl his way out of his daddy's apartheid emerald mine and through his own lithium mines to get to where he is. He is the epitome of the American dream.
Nepo baby.
Nepo baby.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of this story, and I want to be careful because I don't want to be mean. But as we've talked about, I spent some time working, living in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and I'm not going to say my relation, someone close to me at one point who had been living in New York, somehow met someone who was like either in VC or high up at Google Ventures or something like that. But like
pretty well connected.
Well, someone who was like in the Silicon Valley world was important. And she got invited to a pool party that was in the South Bay. So like closer to Mountain View. And when she was in town, she made it. We had to all go out of our way to go to this pool party. In this, these tech guys were throwing this party, and she thought it was going to be this great opportunity to network.
Sure.
She, because my parents were in town, so she, made it, we have to go to this thing. She told my mom. She was like, it's really important for Kristen to be there. I was rolling my eyes. I was like, I don't think this is going to be what you think it is. And we get there, and it's just guys trying to buy cool, being cool. And it was at a beautiful house, and there was a pool in the back, and they had bought, there was a DJ and stuff. But not only that, they had paid to fly women up from Los Angeles to attend their party.
This sounds like an episode of Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
And I know because I talked to some of the girls, and it just was that reminder of impression, doing the thing that you're, these guys who just were, but they finally got money and trying to impersonate what it is to be hip and to be in the in crowd. And it reminds me so much of, I say this as someone who literally did buy Twitter Blue, but I bought it for different reasons. But for the people who are like, I can finally get a blue check mark, and now you're late to the game because it's not cool.
Yeah. It's no longer cool. Yeah. You miss the cool window. Oh,
seeing people just dunk on those who have the blue check mark now, who are trying to act as an authority on anything, is just some of the best chef's kiss Twitter that has ever been.
I have to seek. How much time do we have? We'll come back with this, and we'll talk about what's coming up at Laughing Tap. But someone was very shocked at the engagement rates that the guy who literally created Nirvana was having. He's like, I don't understand, man. This is Ascos, Wisconsin.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. For News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one, they'll be standing in line.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. He is Greg Bach. And Jane, we didn't fill you in. I was going to try to put in two more words. Because what did I say? Loop-de-loo and kerfuffle?
And kerfuffle, yes.
And I failed terribly. Go ahead, Greg.
I challenge Kristen to say the two following words. Guff and quibble.
Ooh, quibble. I like quibble.
Quibble's good. I missed both.
That's all right.
We got too caught up.
We can
start playing this game.
Tomorrow is another day.
Long shot.
Start picking words and seeing if I can fit it in. One of us can work it in. Maybe we can do a contest. Who can do it first?
I'll text you each words.
There we go. What the magic word is for the day.
Yep.
Or we can open it up to you at 844-967-2789. Obviously, it cannot be profanity.
What should tomorrow's word
be? Never mind.
Well, this is up to 844-967-2789. Give us a word. We'll see who can work it in first on tomorrow's show.
I like this game. All right. It's that time of the show on Wednesdays. What?
You said you were going to finish up with something.
Well, I kind of already said it.
Okay, never
but mind. I forgot. I think it's Steve Aline. He was a music engineer. He's been involved in all these different like bands. I think he's probably one of the music engineers for Nirvana.
Steve Albini.
Albini. Thank you.
Oh, that, so guy's, he was that guy's a grump.
He was engaging with someone on Twitter, and his no longer has a blue check mark. And some guy he was engaging with was like astonished by what his engagement rates were, with how many people were like his like to comment ratio or whatever. Because clearly this guy didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And Steve Albini was basically like, this is the funniest thing anyone's ever said about me. Like, that this is what you're picking up on and care about.
Oh, yeah. Steve Albini has no patience for any of that stuff. He hates everything.
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's been a grandpa for 30 years.
What's going on at Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, just trying to show us, Christian. Well, first of all, if you want to come to a great thing tonight, we've got the open mic tonight.
Mm.
If you want to try comedy for the first time, if you want to watch people doing comedy for the first time, or maybe, you know, watching vets honing the chops, that starts, bar opens at 6, sign up at 7, show at 7:30. It's a fun time. We have a good time there. Wednesday at the Laughs on Tap open mic. And then this weekend, we don't have just one. We have two headliners.
What?
On Thursday, one night only, Mr. Michael Palasek returns to the Laughing Tap, and then Friday and Saturday, three shows, one Friday, two Saturday, Mr. Mo Mandel. Both have been seen on the Conan O'Brien. Michael has been on all of the major talk, all the late shows. Mo has been was on Chelsea Lately like 40, 50 times. And we got clips for both of them. Can we run the clip of Michael Palasek, please?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I told my mom, I remember she was very excited. She worries sometimes about stuff. Like, I remember one time she was like, Michael, promise me that if you ever become famous, that you won't become addicted to drugs. Mom, you don't have to be famous. I was flattered that in her mind, she thought I could become that famous, that I could have a celebrity overdose. Like, I would just love to be able to afford name brand allergy medication. If you ever find out that Michael Palasek snorted his money away, it wasn't cocaine, it was nasal decongestants. I have a girlfriend She's great. Her name's Sam. I think it works out because we're different personality-wise. Like, whenever we're hanging out, she'll just say whatever she's thinking all the time. And I like to say nice things.
I just love the nasals. You can touch us. He is. I was telling Jane before the show today, Michael is about like he is one of the nicest humans. He's a wholesome good boy, and he just happens to be one of the funniest comics I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
He's just so unassuming. He doesn't act like he's funny. He is so funny, and he's that funny in real life. It's almost infuriating.
But isn't it nice though, Greg, to find someone who really is the embodiment of all these good things, and that's actually who he is. That's
absolutely
really lovely.
He's a positive, positive dude, really, really sweet, appreciative of being in the places he's at, the success he's had so far, and just really excited to have him back. And then, as I said before, so he will be there Thursday, tomorrow. Tickets are available, laughingtap.com. And if you want to come to a show on Friday or Saturday, we have Mr. Mo Mandel. Jane, we have a clip.
I'm actually Jewish, but I'm Jewish in kind of a weird way. Check it out. Face and hair, kind of excessively Jewy. Yeah. And I got the jock body, right? Kind of in between a Jew and a guy who drives by in a truck and yells, Jew. A little bit dreidel, a little bit methamphetamines right there. And I was actually doing some European comedy this year and I'm performing in Germany. You know what I found out? It is still very hard to be Jewish in Germany. Because it's expensive over there. The euro. I understand why my grandparents got the hell out of there. I really get it now. Makes sense. No, it's hard to be Jewish in Germany because you want to hate everybody. You're walking around. These people killed my people. These people killed my people. Then after a day, you're like, these people danced to techno till 6 a.m. This place is awesome. You start out, these Nazi bastards. You bite into a sausage. Everybody makes mistakes.
So that will be Mr. Mo Mandel coming to the Laughing Tap. One show Friday at 7:30, two shows on Saturday, 7:30 and 10. Tickets are also available. I can tell you the Saturday early show is selling fast. So laughingtap.com for all your comedy needs as far as the Laughing Tap goes. MilwaukeeComedy.com for all the remote shows happening all over the city. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Fun weekend.
Yeah.
We love it. How did the Charlie Barron show go?
Oh, it was so much fun. Sold out. Good times. Everyone crushed. I was very proud of Mr. John Barron's, Charlie's younger brother. He hosted the show. And he did a fantastic job. He's fairly new in stand-up, and he got on stage, and he had fun. That young man is just, he's becoming a guy I adore. Aww. He's so sweet. So we'll be doing it again next month in May. It'll be a monthly show. The third Thursday of every month will be the Barron's Brother Comedy Hour, featuring, it'll be always Charlie and John, and then a feature and a headliner. And I can tell you this right now, next month, if all goes well, I think everyone's committed. Next month, we will be having AJ Grill as a feature. Ooh. And Chelsea Hood out of Chicago as the headliner. Chelsea is amazing and funny. And can I say one more thing?
Well, you got a minute.
Next week, you should follow Milwaukee Comedy Festival because we have a big announcement coming, two big announcements coming next week for our headliners.
For the festival?
For the festival. Oh, yeah.
Which is not until October. But
it's not until October. We're announcing it now, baby.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that will do it for us today. Thanks for texting. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
If you talk, they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids,
They need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So don't they hear
you? You can do it. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 96.